Let's talk Religion 101. Guests on behalf of the Kauffman Interfaith Institute to give us the catch up. Dr. Doug Kinchy, Director, Kauffman Interfaith Institute. Good morning to you, Doug.
Morning, Shelley. I wish I could say it's good to see you, because I haven't seen you in a long time.
And we did basically on an every month basis for many years, but the show goes on. Kyle Quayers, Associate Director, Kauffman Interfaith Institute. Good morning to you, Kyle.
Good morning, Shelley. Good to be with you. Good to hear your voice.
Glad that you are here. Let's get into this conversation. The Institute, still up and running. And Doug, yes, glad that you are on our airwaves. Let's talk all things pursuing healing with the interfaith community. I give you the floor.
Oh, thanks, Shelley. Just a little bit of background. Since that we did our launch of the Kauffman Interfaith Institute back in 2012, We did it with a year of interfaith understanding. And then we began kind of a three-year cycle. So in 2015, we had the year of interfaith service, and we worked together with various service organizations. In 2018, we had the year of interfaith friendship, and we set up a number of affinity groups and interest groups, got people to kind of know each other on a personal basis. I like to think of it as understanding deals with the head, service with the hands, and then friendship deals with the heart. But in today's environment, we are decided 2021 is the time for our next triennial special year. And we decided that the 2021 is going to be our year of interfaith healing. Healing seems to be what is needed right now. So we have four sub-themes. We're going to talk about healing our bodies, of course, because of the COVID, healing our earth, the whole environmental kind of question that we need to be addressing, because that's also a worldwide pandemic-like kind of thing. It's just that it's happening so much slower. And then healing our political division, and finally healing racial diversity. So we're going to be working in all four of those sub-themes throughout 2021 in our year of interfaith healing.
Anything to add to that, Kyle?
No, I just say as a note of minor adjustment, healing racial disparities. Racial diversity is a very good thing, but we're just looking at, again, the disparity of experiences of folks within our community related to the pandemic, related to economics, related to police and criminal justice, all around the board, how the interfaith community can come alongside of predominantly communities of color and, again, offer the support and resources of the Institute of our wider interfaith network to advance a lot of the priorities and initiatives that, again, leaders of color have been working on for a long time. And I think in some ways the interfaith community is a little late to the game, but we're excited to really put our energy there.
Thank you for that. Staying with you, Kyle, I want to move on to the conversation of the 21st Annual Interfaith Thanksgiving Celebration. Boy, this is going to be different. Tell me about your gratitude in times of challenge.
Yeah, thanks, Shelley. You know, first quick thing, I think there's a typo on our notes. That is Monday, November 23rd at 7 p.m. We encourage folks to check out our 21st Annual Interfaith Thanksgiving Celebration, which, like many other things in this season of life, will be virtual. And I know that, you know, a lot of folks, especially in light of announcements from the state this past week, are having to kind of cope and wrestle with a Thanksgiving that will look vastly different than many Thanksgivings previously. You know, as we're trying to minimize the impact of the coronavirus and kind of keep our numbers and exposure under control, we feel that in the interfaith community. You know, this is an event that has gone on for several decades now, and unfortunately, we too had to do this type of gathering in a new way this year. But nonetheless, I think what we've pulled together is really, really impactful. I think, you know, normally I frame this space as an opportunity for people to experience how different religious, spiritual, or secular communities give voice to Thanksgiving out of their own cultural or spiritual practices. This year specifically, I think you're going to hear something very special and very unique, and that is, how do we hold fast to gratitude? How do we cling to Thanksgiving? How do we still give praise and recognize the blessings and the gifts and the provisions we have around us, even in times of immense adversity. And so this year's celebration, I think, will look different than years past, not just because it's virtual, but because you're hearing people speak about something that is, again, both very common but also deeply personal in terms of how we've been affected, how we've had to pivot, and what we are holding to, what we are clinging to in this season to get us through. So the celebration will take place Monday, November 23rd, like I said, at 7 p.m. It is virtual, so we'll send a link out to folks on Monday. If you're interested in attending, checking out the celebration, we encourage you to find our registration at interfaithunderstanding.org. Again, you'll get the link and the program sent to your email on Monday. And we just hope that that'll be a really rich time for folks. And if you, let's say you have plans Monday night, that celebration will be available afterwards. So we would still encourage you to register so you get the link, but then you can tune in at any time when you have some space or looking for something to do during a Thanksgiving week that, again, will look very different. So we're thrilled to offer this.
Great. And I turn to you, Doug, on a follow-up to that.
Well, I'm excited. Also, I've been able to look at the preview of that event for Thanksgiving. It's really well done. It's only about 45 minutes, so it's not one of these long services that's going to get too much for you. So I think I really encourage people to sign up for it and to watch that beginning on Monday evening. But one of the things I wanted to discuss also was the shocking news that Rabbi Jonathan Sacks passed away on November 7th. It was such a shock because he had only been diagnosed about 2 months earlier for cancer. He had fought cancer a couple times earlier in his life, but he seemed to be quite healthy, and he was so vigorous and so active in the interfaith and the religious world generally, but it was a shock. And for me personally, it was because he's been my hero. I went over my previous insights that I write each week, and I've quoted him, you know, more than 30 times, 6 times just in this last year. He was a powerful figure, not only in the Jewish community. You know, he was chief rabbi for the United Kingdom. But worldwide and across the board, he was such a powerful figure. He first came into prominence. He's written over 20 books, but he first came into prominence with his book, The Dignity of Difference. This was about 20 years ago when there was the whole idea of clash of civilization was being talked about, that there's this divide between us that can't be overcome. And he said, no, we need to look at the dignity of that difference. And he's followed through on that theme with his other books. Another book that was very influential to me was The Great Partnership, in which he dealt with science and religion, that they don't have to be at odds. They can work together. And, of course, that's an area I've worked in. And then the third book that has big influence for me was Not in God's Name, dealing with religious violence. And I've had to deal with that in a number of the talks I've given. How do we handle what appears to be a religious violence kind of movement? By the way, I was able to, when I was in Cambridge, you know, I try to go there every year. The first time I was there, I actually had the privilege of meeting him and hearing him speak. This is in 2013, and his personal presence is also charming. And by the way, he has literally hundreds of videos. I just don't know how to express my sadness that he's not going to be here to lead us as we move into the future. His latest book is titled Morality, and it was actually, he hints at that when he gave the TED Talk in 2017. And he discusses in that book how in the last 50 years or so, we have gone from an I culture. We've picked up an I culture, moving away from a we culture. And I think a nice way to express it, he says in the future when people come back and try to study what was happening in this century, the thing they're going to notice more than anything else as they find artifacts and things like that is what's called the selfie. the selfie is so prominent now. Everyone's taking selfies. And he said that's just a little tiny symbol of what's happened. We have become so self-oriented rather than we-oriented. And, of course, that's happening now in our political landscape as well. But he has had, a powerful impact. I'm hoping that the legacy of his writings and his videos will still hold us through. But during this crisis time that we're in right now, and it's going to take us a while to get through, I'm going to miss his personal presence in all of that. Anyway, I can talk all day about this, Shelley, but I don't think you're going to let me do that.
Well, no, unfortunately, there are others whose voices need to be shared, but we still have time this half hour. So rest in peace, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Thank you for that, Dr. Kinchy. Yes, our monthly conversation with those from the Kauffman Interfaith Institute, Dr. Kinchy and Kyle Coyers. Well, Doug, the microphone is still open to you with some thoughts of heading into the season.
Well, I'll say a little bit more about Sacks if you'll let me, because I guess in terms of the season, I'm so thankful for the impact and influence he's had on me. You know, not only was he the chief rabbi in England, but he was recognized. He was knighted by Queen Elizabeth. Later, he was given a peerage, and so he was a member of the House of Lords. He received his doctorate after he received his rabbinic ordination. He just was so far-reaching in his knowledge and in his experience and in his writings that it was just remarkable. He actually attended Cambridge University, which is kind of my second academic home, and then went on to study in Oxford, and then also University of London, where he received his doctorate. His official title then is Rabbi Dr. Lord Jonathan Sacks, because as a member of the House of Lords, he's entitled to use that title as well. I guess that superseded when he was knighted, he became Sir Jonathan Sacks. But again, it's kind of fun to watch all these titles in the English environment. But he collected quite a few of them.
Very nice. What do you leave us with as we go into, spending time, our holiday times in a different way? I'll start with you, Doug.
Well, first of all, I guess on a good note for us coming up with Thanksgiving is that I've mentioned before that we have our daughter married a German pastor, and we have four German grandchildren. For the first time in 30 years, our family will be together on Zoom for Thanksgiving. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving the same time we do, so they've never been a part of our Thanksgiving in person. And it's going to be kind of fun that we decided that we would do this by Zoom, and so all of the family, kids, and grandkids will be together and have a great time on Thursday. Some of us will be tuning in at noon, others at 1 o'clock, and because of the time difference, our German family will be tuning in about 6 o'clock in the evening for them. But that's going to be fun. But it's a challenge to be thankful given the news. And every morning you hear about the divisions that are continuing in our environment here, about the increase I heard on the news this morning. It's close to 2,000 deaths yesterday, double what we thought was terrible, 1,000 deaths. And then the number of coronavirus cases is up to 200,000 daily now, increase. But we're in a very serious situation. So we need to really struggle to figure out how to be thankful. But I am so thankful that there are electronic ways we can connect with our loved ones, and that there are also online ways that we can celebrate Thanksgiving together, as we will be starting Monday night with the Interfaith Thanksgiving celebration.
Yes. Kyle, what do you have for us?
I would just say, Shelley, is, you know, life is continuing in this sort of virtual mode of operation. I would just encourage folks to seek out spaces that enable you to be connected and enable you to be present. take time to take stock of, you know, the seat you're sitting on, the ground your feet are on, the wind outside, the sunlight, if there is any here in West Michigan, the breaths you take, just to remain grounded, again, in your own sense of self, of reality, as a way of kind of centering ourselves in the midst of this sort of sea of anxiety. A lot of Kauffman's programming will continue to be revolving around developing human connection and creating even virtual spaces that really enable folks to offer themselves into the space. So while we do have some lecture-style events, a lot of our spaces are designed to foster conversation between folks where they can share about things that are happening in their life, in their home, with their family, and with their larger religious, spiritual, or secular community. And so I would encourage folks to check out the spaces that we have to offer. We'll continue to do those through the end of the year and well into the spring, as Doug said, through this new healing theme that we'll approach 2021 with. So all of that information can be found at interfaithunderstanding.org.
And remind me one more time of the 23rd, November 23rd, that evening.
Yep. So 7 p.m., Monday, November 23rd, our annual Interfaith Thanksgiving celebration theme, Gratitude in Times of Challenge. And again, we encourage folks to register early so they can get the link and check that out at their convenience, beginning Monday at 7, registration at interfaithunderstanding.org.